The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What were you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping he would be the one to redeem Israel. Besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and they reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is near the evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them, and as it happened, while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised. He has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. The responsorial psalm said, "Lord, you'll show us the path of life. You will show us the path of life." Now, I'd like for that to kind of serve as a title for the message today. And I want you to notice this gospel in two fundamental ways. First of all, that there's a problem, and secondly, that there is a prescription. Now, first of all, there's a problem. A cursory reading of the text just says, well, there were two disciples walking to a town called Emmaus. One of them was named Cleopas. We don't know the other name of the other disciple. And so you shrug and say, well, so what? They're walking to a town called Emmaus. But there's a problem with that. There's a big problem with that. And the problem is that they have their backs to the resurrection. The resurrection is behind them. They are leaving it behind. They have already heard news that Jesus has been raised. Had he not told them that on the third day he would rise? They themselves observe it is the third day. They have heard that he has been raised. And they are walking away from that good news. Now, that's the problem. The text goes on to say that they're downcast, they're sorrowful, basically says they're rooted in negativity. And don't you see that that is often our problem too? We have heard that Jesus has been raised from the dead. I had a number of people tell me just before we began Mass, Jesus is risen. Did someone turn to you and say, Jesus is risen? And the response, He is truly risen. And yet, too often, we have our backs to the resurrection. It's so easy for us to be rooted in negativity, to be rooted in sin, to be rooted in a just overall cynical, negative, resentful world. With the glory of the resurrection behind us, in the world in front of us, negative, cynical, resentful, sinful. And so again, the problem with these two disciples is that even though they have heard of the resurrection taking place in Jerusalem, they are leaving Jerusalem with Jerusalem behind them, the resurrection behind their back, leaving and going to some distant town called Emmaus. You and I can easily be in that same category. Now, that's the problem. What needs to take place, therefore, is a conversion. The Latin word conversio, where we get the word conversion, means to turn around. To be converted means to be turned back or turned around. If you will, these disciples who are walking away from the resurrection need to be reoriented to the resurrection and all that the resurrection represents. They need to be rooted in what is positive, what is glorious, what is possible. They need to become men of hope, not downcast, not looking negative with their eyes to the ground and their backs to the resurrection. But rather, turned around, looking, beholding the resurrection, becoming men of hope, men that say, it is possible, I can love even my enemies, I can forgive those who have hated me, it is possible for me to turn away from sin, it is possible for me to live a completely transformed life. These men need to be turned back, need to be converted. And how does the Lord Jesus turn them back? By the end of this gospel, they go back to Jerusalem. Did you notice that? They had their backs to Jerusalem, their backs to the resurrection, but at the end of this gospel, the Lord has reoriented them, and they are now running back to Jerusalem. Now, how does He do it? Can I say this to you? That the way Jesus does it is by celebrating a Mass with them. By celebrating the sacred liturgy. He takes, if you will, some time to celebrate what we have come to call Holy Mass with them. I don't know if you noticed, but this gospel has the structure of a Mass built right into it. For example, the first thing that we notice is that there are two disciples who are gathered, Cleopas and the other one. And that the Bible teaches us that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so, sure enough, two of them are gathered, and guess who comes to join them? Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, isn't that what we just did this morning? You came from your homes through the rainy morning and we gathered. And Jesus Christ, where two or three are gathered, Jesus Christ is in our midst. And we celebrated that liturgically by the procession of me, the celebrant, the priest, who represents Christ. And you stood and you sang a hymn announcing the resurrection of Jesus, and Jesus walked the aisle of this church. Not Monsignor Pope, but Jesus. So there was a gathering, and the Lord came to join these two disciples. And then he said to them, "Why are you downcast? What are your burdens? What are your sorrows? What are your sins? Why are you negative?" He engages in a kind of a dialogue with them, a discussion about what is troubling them. And isn't that really the purpose at the beginning of Mass of the penitential rite? We gather, and after singing that hymn, the sign of the cross is made, and immediately the celebrant, who is Jesus, not Monsignor Pope, but Jesus asked you this morning, "What is troubling you? Let us acknowledge our sins, that we may worthily, that we may joyfully celebrate these sacred mysteries." And we thought about some of the troubles of our life. And we heard a word of mercy from the Lord Jesus. And so again, the Lord Jesus now has joined these two disciples. He's joined us on this road. A road they have no business being on. It is not the path of life. It is the path of negativity. And they're on this road, but the Lord joins them. And he says to them, "What is it that is troubling you?" And then the Lord took the word of God and announced it to them and interpreted it for them. It says in the text that he set about to show them all the places in the Old Testament that referred to him. And he interpreted those passages. And isn't that what Jesus is doing for us right now? The word of God has been announced to you by our lectors, by our deacon, and now I stand here to try to interpret it for you, to make it relevant. What does two disciples on some road 2,000 years ago have to do with us? And my point is to try to show you it has everything to do with us. We're those disciples. And so, the Lord took a word, announced his word to them, and interpreted it, just as he's doing for us right now. And then, at the conclusion of that, they went into the house, and they invited the Lord to stay. And it says in this text that the Lord sat down, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Does that sound familiar? It's the Holy Eucharist, isn't it? On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, he said the blessing, he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "This is my body." The same with the cup, "This is my blood." The text says that Jesus vanished from their sight at that moment that they beheld him in the Eucharist. Almost as though he were teaching them that you will no longer see me in the way you have seen me, but you will see me in the Eucharist. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And isn't that what the Lord's about to do for us now? He joined us as we gathered. He asked us what was troubling us. He broke open his word for us. And in a few moments he's about to stand at this altar and take the bread, bless it, break it, and give it to us, saying, "This is my body." And the final thing that happens in this Mass that we see in the Gospel today is that the apostles, or the disciples here, recognized him in the breaking of the bread. That's a biblical expression for the Eucharist, the breaking of the bread, the Eucharist. And it says that they ran back to Jerusalem to tell the others what they had seen and heard. Now, before we talk about their conversion, just notice, isn't that what the end of Mass is really supposed to be? The deacon will say to you, "The Mass is ended, now go in peace." It doesn't mean go home and put your feet up. Well, maybe you can do that for a while. Relax, it's Sunday. But what he's announcing, what the deacon is doing, is commissioning us. Go into the world now. Go out of these doors. Go into the world and tell the people what you have seen and heard. How the Lord ministered to you. How your hearts burned as He preached a word to you. You burned with joy. And then how He broke the bread and gave you His body and blood and filled you with His Holy Spirit. And now you've been sent forth to announce what you've seen and heard. Now, the final thing to say then about this gospel is their conversion. They are no longer moving away from Jerusalem, moving away from the resurrection. Now they turn back and they head toward the resurrection. They head toward Jerusalem, toward the joy, toward the hope. That is where they are going. You see their conversion? Lord, you will show me the path of life. You will show me the path of life. They're moving back toward hope, toward forgiveness, toward mercy, toward new possibilities, toward new life, away from resentment, away from negativity, away from cynicism and bitterness and sin. And they're moving back toward Jerusalem, toward the resurrection. And how did Jesus Christ do it? By celebrating the Holy Mass with them. Do you see what we do every Sunday and how important it is for us? It's not just rituals that we're doing, just tedious rituals to try to kind of get through and check off the God box and get on with our day. What we are doing when we come to this Holy Mass every Sunday is we're being reoriented. We all get off into these paths of negativity so easily, but isn't it essential for us to come to God's house every Sunday to be reoriented, to have our ongoing conversion, to have our paths more perfected, to hear a word of hope, a word that might challenge us but says to us, there is a different way that you can live. You don't have to live negative, cynical, bitter, sinful. You can be free of all of that. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And the Lord wants to bring us here every Sunday to reorient us, to get us back on track, to show us the paths of life. And that is what is happening for us now, that the Lord is ministering to us. How many people do you know that don't come here to Mass anymore, who think that the whole thing is just a ritual, just something, you know? Do you have some idea of what Holy Mass is for us? That the Lord feeds us with His body and blood. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. That He's reorienting us, that He's keeping us on the paths of life, that He's teaching us, that He's encouraging us, that if we're headed in the wrong direction, He brings us into this house to once again show us the paths of life. That's what the Lord is doing for us this morning. So let's rejoice. Let's thank God for what He's doing. And please, begin to understand more fully what Holy Mass is. It's not just a ritual that has no meaning. It is a transformative reality. For many people, the Mass may seem to be just a tedious ritual. Let's get this over with. Come on, come on. Let's hurry up about it. And they see it as a tedious ritual rather than a transformative reality. A reorienting experience. An experience which is meant to bring us and keep us on the paths of life. Amen.